Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Wargaming Podcast. We're your hosts, Tony
and Paul,
and we're here to talk about more Masters coverage. So if you haven't picked it up already, there are a number of shows going on. If you want to know more about the lists, we suggest you listen to the Paired Weapons podcast, the live draws on the Cavalier's Tale. And of course, all the event coverage over the weekend will be on Proxy Table Gaming. So we're here to talk about the matchups, and we have a special guest today.
Hello there. I'm coming in from Hammertime Podcast.
Hello, Casimir. Thanks for coming on for our well-oiled, smooth machine. We're not even drunk compared to your normal podcast,
yeah,
and it's still
issue.
A struggle.
That's the issue. Like, because when you're drunk, like, then you just, like, it goes more smoothly, you know? You're lubricated.
Oh, you've never listened to your recordings, have you?
Actually, I haven't for a while, so don't tell me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on, mate. Especially, where are you these days? Munich?
Yeah, Munich. That's where I'm staying. And yeah, it's a really good area. It's a good night fish scene as well. A lot of really nice players and a lot of games to be had.
Good man. Well, as Tony says, we're here to explain the first round draw, really. So, I suppose, Tony, this year you have made the Masters. So we do actually have a little bit of accreditation to have a say in this. But I still feel well out of my depth.
Well, that's only because I turned up to lots of events this year. And your averages carry you through.
And demons.
Yeah.
I mean, surely you have to do kind of okay on those averages as well.
The problem is the really bad scores can be dropped off the rankings. So I had some quite reasonable results and some stonkers, you know, where they, or stinkers more like, rather than stonkers, just fell apart. So the same list, I'd come fifth or come one from last.
Fair enough. Well, I was trying to up you a little bit, mate. A bit up here, because we've got to somehow predict these eight games. So I suppose first thing to explain, Masters, the first round draw is Dawn Assault and Carnage, which is a special unique scenario, which I actually find quite exciting this year. They've gone outside the box a little bit and used one of the experimental scenarios in the supplements book, which actually we've used this quite a few times on my online tournaments that I've been running, and I really quite like it as a scenario. It's a bit like Capture the Flags, but basically, a very short explanation, every unit entry counts as a point for when it's killed. So, yeah, the more you kill, the more points you get. The person who has the more points at the end of the game gets the 3-point tournament point swing. So things like chaff have to be used quite carefully. I don't know how he's FAQ'd it. I don't know if he's going to be doing it as per unit. So if you put all your characters in one unit, that counts as one or per X characters. But we'll do it on the basis of each unit entry counts as a point, and summon units don't count or do count. Not sure how he's doing that, but I don't think there's any summoned units in the game. I don't think there's any Masters
of
Shamanism.
There's no...
And there's no vampires.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think he's got around that one. But so with all that explained, let's go into the first matchup. So we've got Kev on his KOE versus Tom with his Highborn Elves. So let's start with you, Casimir. What do you think about this particular matchup?
Yeah, so I think that this is quite a fun matchup, because Kev is playing against a list that he probably loves the theory of, because Tom has just all the dragons and Kev is playing his KOE with scorpions. So I think this is the time he's been saying the scorpions have been doing badly, but they kind of have to turn up now, and they have just an infinite amount of targets. So I think no matter what, he'll be pretty happy to play this one.
What about yourself, Tony? What are you thinking?
I am just disappointed at Kev not having a big scary fly monster. There we go. We'll leave it there. I think probably the list is right, but I think Tom's got the fun factor.
Yeah,
oh, definitely. Tom's got some fun factor there. I don't think. I don't know. I quite like the new Highborn Elf book, and this is exactly what you can do with it. So kudos to Tom for bringing it. And he loves his dragons, didn't he? And he's got two of the new unit entry type, so he wins scores on that point there. But what do we think matchup wise? How do we think it's going to go?
Yeah, so I'm not quite sure if Kev is maneuverable enough to like kind of fight everything. But then again, he has, I mean, he has the shooting, he has chaff to get in the way of the big blocks. So I think in the end, Kev will win, and I think that they will enjoy it very much. But probably this will be won't be a big win, but still a win.
I mean, the advantage Tom's got, I suppose, is he does play KOE, so he does know what the list does. I mean, it's a solid list, isn't it, the KOE? And double Scorpion, like you say, against the Dragons. But there are quite a lot of units. If Tom gets into those siege weapons, they also give a point on the secondary. So I'm going to go with Tom for a win. But again, I don't think it will be a big win, because I think he'll lose a lot getting in.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very cagey. I think they've both got long range charges. Tom's got single monsters. I think if Kev's stupid scorpions turn up, it's going to ruin Tom's day, especially as he can't hear his dragons and his griffins like he used to. But I don't know how these initiates of the Fiery Heart are going to do. He's got an alchemy mage.
Does anybody know who? I haven't actually even played with them yet, so.
I think it'd be a small win to one of them. I just don't know who. I'm going to go down the middle and say draw. I'm going to be boring. I think they're going to stand off of each other. I think, yeah, 11-9-ish. But I'm going to say draw. I don't know how to call this one.
A decisive start for you then, Paul.
I know. What can I say?
Second game is some chump called Tony versus GM. And we've both got Demon Legions. So finally, a book I understand in the Masters.
Yeah, so, it's quite funny, actually, because you have an advantage by knowing one of the most complicated books in the game.
And yet I know none of the others. Isn't that brilliant?
Set yourself up. So how do you think you're going to do, mate? How do you think you're going to do in this mirror match?
It's an interesting... I mean, there's three Demon lists, and I'm sure the review points out they are all different. Yeah, the characters chosen are different, and the units, the actual army itself are quite different. Guillaume's got lots of, or quite a few more smaller units, which probably plays a little bit on the secondary. His 15 Myrmidons with the unhinging jaw are a pain, because I was thinking, like, you know, my hoarders have got nothing to worry about. But of course, the unhinging jaw will give him the rerolls against the large and against the more. So I'm going to back myself and say I'm going to win one game, and maybe it will be this one.
Good man. Go in with confidence. Right, so it's me next. I agree with you. I think I like Graham's list. I think it's got some reasonable stuff to it. I mean, he's got three units of five Eidolons. He's got a Hope Harvester. He's got a Sentinel, which I really like. But yeah, against you, it's the wrong kind of matchup. I mean, he's got Succubi. you've got stuff. I mean, it's your Hoarders and your Maw, I think he will struggle with as an overall. You've got more Myrmidons than he does. So if they go ding-dong, you come out the other side. The Blazing Glories aren't great in this matchup. Of course, Guillaume's a great player, so he could just scupper all of this.
He has got the answers in there, hasn't he? Again, if he gets his Succubi into my Myrmidons, that's just bad news.
Yeah.
Gets his Myrmidons into my Hoarders, you know, they're going to make a big dent and drag quite a lot of the Hoarders down to weaken them up. It's not one-way
attacks.
Traffic. Yeah.
How does the Divining Snout work, actually, against demons? When does it trigger?
That's the one which is for magical items. I believe it's for anybody with a mark.
Gifts or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Any kind of manifestation, yeah.
Yes. So, in fact, I'll double check the word.
Your entire army.
Yeah, so basically, they're pretty fast.
Apart from bloke flies and furies.
Like, if that's the case, then those units are going to be interesting to deal with, I think.
Yeah. The thing I'm also acutely aware of is the scenario. I think you're going to pick up a lot more of Guillaume's units than he is of yours, because he's just got loads of units. So like the five Eidolons, they should go down pretty easily. The Threshing Engine, you've got enough range to be dealing with the smaller stuff. The two that's a 10 Succubi will do some damage, and then they'll fall over. I mean, I think Graham's got a good list for the overall tournament. I just think he's got a little bit of a bad matchup in this particular instance. So I'm putting you down to him, mate. I'm actually putting you down for a reasonable win. I think it'd be 15, 16, something like that. Sorry, Graham.
Have you learned nothing?
I know.
Just going back to the Divining Snout, just to cover it, for the against units that contain special items. If you look at demonic manifestations, it says they follow the rules for special items. So I think that's... Go. Yeah.
That's really, really interesting, actually. So I think, actually, it was when I looked at this before and I didn't know the scenario, I thought that Game's list was quite good. Like, I felt like he had a lot of, like, answers to your maybe a little bit more blocky list here. But because the scenario is so punishing for MSU, I feel like he needs to engage and he needs to lose units in order to get points. And in the end, that means that you probably have an advantage for scenario. And I mean, if you know, I mean, you guys know as well as anybody, right? That if you start out thinking you're going to lose scenario, it's going to be a really tough matchup to gain all those points back. So I'm going to put Tony to win as well.
Oh, we can't all vote on me. Don't make me vote for Guillaume. I suppose I should, because then it's win-win for me in that game.
Yeah, exactly.
This is it. Now, I do honestly think it's just a little bit of a bad matchup for him. But I'm sure with the list he's got, I think he'll... And he's also a skilled player. You all are. This is the problem with the Masters. There are no chumps, apart from Tony. So, this was your chance, Graham. Wrong list.
All games are like that in ninth, though, aren't they? If you turn up to a tournament, there's... You know, no, he's... I mean, what was it? You played... Was it Care at the last tournament on mid-tables or something? And they knocked him... down to the bottom
again. Nice. Yeah, I mean, again, you should be like first game two, wasn't it? Was Care on the bottom table facing Tom Clues, both like Masters qualifiers in their own countries, in their own right. Yeah, no reason why they should be on the bottom tables. They just have bad first game matchups. But yeah, it's very unlikely to kind of springboard in this game, isn't there? But definitely not the Masters. You're not gonna get an easy game, mate. No easy games this weekend. I, on the other hand, I'm in the Open. It'd be fine. It'd be fine. But anyway, back to the Masters, the actual main event. Game three, Luke with his UD versus Chris and his Ogres. Ooh! Right, okay. Well, given the fact you've got three Demon Legion players, three Kingdom of Equitaine, and three Sylvan Elves, the fact these two have pulled each other is quite fun. Could talk about something other than the big three. Me first. Right. Luke's got loads of experience with UD. Chris has just picked up Ogres. So I think that has to factor in a little bit. But I really like Chris's list. I think it's nice to be seeing something a little bit different in Ogres. I think he got a bit of stick for taking Pyro in the Paired Weapons podcast. And I can understand why if you're talking about the meta as a whole. But when you're talking about a Masters event where you're playing 16 players, three of which have got Demons and three of which have got Sylvan Elves, I think Pyro is a great shout. I also think the other thing that plays to him here is that new Pyromancy spell that gives him -1 to wound means he's got two uses of that spell in a very resilient Ogre army as it is. I also think Pyro is pretty decent against UD.
Yeah, so, I would agree.
I think, Luke, mate, you've got your work cut out for you. You've also got some soft, squidgy skeleton scouts that are just going to get burnt off. I'd like to bat Luke. I think Luke's great, but I think the Ogres have got this. That would be my shout. But I do think Luke's got a lot of experience with the UD. So, no, I was a coward with the first game. I'm going to go Chris to win medium.
Interesting. Yeah, so I would say that I absolutely love Luke's list. Like this, I mean, I play UD myself, and I think this list has no fat on it. It's just really like a really, really good list. However, in this matchup, if you just look at, like, if you disregard the scenario for a second, like Chris has just a lot more chaff, and he has a lot more chaff killing potential, and none of Luke's single models fly or anything like this. The only thing that flies is the Tomb Reapers, which means is that the chaff will really be king in the matchup, I think. And looking at that, I believe that the Ogres will be able to engage a lot better than what Luke will be able to do with what he has. So saying that, I think then, of course, then having more chaff is a bit of a liability in the matchup. But so that might be an issue for Chris. But I do still think that looking at the lists, then it looks to me like Chris should win this. But yeah, I mean, as you say, experience counts for a lot in this game. But I'm also gonna back Chris to win against my heart.
I mean, Chris is a good player, and that is it's an interesting list, isn't it? I mean, I've not seen a list like that recently. I don't know if I've seen a list like that. I've not played against it. The two units of five Tusker cavalry. You can deal with a unit of Tusker cavalry, but can you deal with two at the same time? And like you say, you got the saber-toothed tigers. Now, every time I've played Luke, I've looked at his UD list and thought, there's not much of it. It's quite small and containable. And then I've lost massively.
Those balls are tough and work.
Bumped him up a little bit further up the further up the rankings every time. So I think experience says that Luke's going to pull it out of the bag. But if those Tuskers get to him, it'll go bad quickly, won't it? But then you never know. You get two Colossus in there and hey presto, you're laughing. So yeah. I'm going to go with Luke. Both armies have the answers to destroy the others. I think I'll go with Luke, mainly so that I give a different answer to you guys.
If two Colossus get into anything, that thing will die. The damage output is insane.
I don't know, double minus one to wound. Kenny has to go eat his casters at the back. He's going to have to protect himself from the amp.
Yeah,
this is one of the only games those kin eaters are actually going to turn up and do anything.
Or just the hunters, like the hunters' vanguard. If he gets first turn, vanguard move, and then you're just all up in that bunker on the first turn. It's really annoying to play against the UD. You might have to like castle in deployment or whatever, depending on who gets to drop first.
I mean, the Tuskers were great weapons as well. It's not like you can just throw a Colossus in and, you know, there's every opportunity it'll... Your Tuskers will tank it and do some damage, but I'm still going to go with Luke.
Fair enough. Game four. KOE off. They deserve each other. Wes versus Rory. You're up, Casimir, first.
Exactly. Two KOEs, and you just look at the list, too. You're like, oh, yeah, Quest Knights, Star, Shore.
See, they got the memo about big flying monsters, didn't they? It's just Kev that didn't get it.
Yeah, exactly, which is very surprising, I have to say. But I would say the big difference here is that West list is all combat, and Rory has like a bit of shooting. Like, he doesn't really have a lot of shooting, but he has like the divination guy, he has the scorpion, I think he has like a unit bowman or something like this as well. So I think if I look at this, like Wes has to push, and then it's the question of will he be able to, you know, like push well enough. But I think together with the fact that he also has a witchcraft as well as the healing for his hippogriff and so on, I believe that Wes has the potential to win this. But I'm still don't know really if it's going to be Carnage or not. I'm not sure. I don't know enough about KOE, I'd say, but I'm gonna say Wes to win.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Again, I mean, you look at the two lords. You got an Equitin Lord on a Hippogriff, Duskforge Shield, BSB, Aether Icon, Bastard Sword, Ghosty, Forbearance. I mean, that is... they're so similar, the Lords, aren't they? I mean, whoever pushes, you know, if a couple of charges don't make it, the punch back from a charging, I suppose... Yeah, I wouldn't like to be a champion in those units as they shuffle forwards. So, I mean, I think the Scorpion could be interesting. Again, it depends who goes first, doesn't it? But if Rory gets to go first and Wes has probably got an advance into him, I'm going to go with Rory. But I do think Wes has got the better Hippogriff Lord. So well done, Wes. I'll go for a win. I don't think it will it be a big win? No, I think it will just end up all the units in the middle smashing each other up. So I'll just go for a win.
You see, that's where I'm thinking. I think this will be big one way or the other. I mean, generally with KOE, whoever gets the charge pulls it off. and their lists are very similar. They've obviously got differences with their lady courtiers being on druidism or witchcraft, and their main, I mean, divination's a great lore in the overall. I think Rory will do better with his list overall because divination ruins demons and ruins sylvan elves. It doesn't ruin KOE. He's got too much armor. It does give him some powerful combat buffs with the whole rerolls to wound divine attacks on his charging cav, which would just annihilate another unit of charging cav. But if Wes gets the charge, there won't be any knights to fight back with, and they'll be bouncing off of armor only being strength 4. Whoever gets the charge wins, basically. So one of these two is going to win big. And the other one is going to feel hard done by, because I think if you replayed the match, it could go big the other way. So it comes down to, who do I back? Bugger. I like both these guys. So this isn't personal at all. I think you're both decent players. You're both in the Masters, and I'm not. So I can't say a single thing about player quality. They both deserve to be there. They've both got good experience with Kingdom of Equitaine. I reckon, 50-50 it. Rory's going to run over Wes. There you go. Now, what I might do is edit this and say, Wes is going to run over Rory, and then I'll edit it seamlessly in, so one of those will win perfectly. I reckon Rory will win big, or Wes will win big, but I'm going to back Rory just because I have to back somebody. Sorry, Wes. Game 5, that was hard. I don't like those guys.
Yeah, that matchup is really tight, I think.
Let's go for a different matchup that should be nice and easy. Ed with Demon Legions versus Adam with Warriors. Why is one playing two in round one? I thought this was seeded.
Who knows?
Yeah, well, at least they get it over with early, so they don't need to do this on the last the last matchup of the tournaments.
Do we think Tank is gonna try to organize his wins so that he gets the army swap against Kieran? Is that the master plan?
We'll come on to the VS in a minute.
Yeah. So you got Ed's Demon Legions versus Tanker's Warriors of the Dark God. And they've both kind of got the armies they've been using for most of the year, haven't they? Ed's got his Courtesan and Scourge, big unit of Myrmidons, big unit of Succubi. You know, it's a good demon list, but Tanker with his Warriors list. I mean, he's used this at, it's pretty much the same list as he's used
at the last twice, few. The last one. What was the most recent one? Over in Stockport.
Yeah, the one that he...
Breakthrough, wasn't it?
Breakthrough, yeah.
I mean, it's slightly tweaked. I think he had some knights in this, whereas he's got a couple of units of flayers.
Have these two played each other with these lists in those tournaments?
Not quite. The Tank played Ed on the final game of Breakthrough, and it was 12-8 to Tanker. But it could have been. It was swingy either way.
Yeah.
But that was a different list Ed was using, though. Ed wasn't having. He didn't have the Courtesan and the Scourge. He had something else. I can't remember what he was using at Breakthrough. But he wasn't using those two demons.
That Scourge is going to hurt, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Tanker, I think. I hate playing this. You know, the two units are Wretched Ones. Two units are Chosen Knights. With Wrath, the new version of Wrath, so you don't get the plus one to hit. I think that's... I mean, it's a subtle list. You know, I think it's going to just come straight down the centre at him. As it did with me in the last... Again, I've... putting Tanker into the Masters single-handedly with several big losses to him this year. I think he scored 20 and 19 against me. So, yeah. Yeah, I'll go a win to Tanker. And I think they'll probably, not go hell for leather first game. So I think it'll only be a win. I don't think it'll be a big win.
See... I think you have to go for a big win, but I just think they're both reasonable players. I think Tanker won at Breakthrough because the list, Ed didn't have some of the stuff he has in this particular list. But that said, I don't think it's a great match for Ed. He might disagree. He's a great player. I've been in multiple times. That's not not recently though. And but yeah, he's been playing with Demons for a while. Div's not going to be great again. Oh, I don't know. I say that he's got Wretched Ones and Divination's quite decent against them. Well, I say that now. It's only Fate's Judgment, isn't it? Everything else rerolls to hit. I hate to say it, but I think Tank's got it just. It's going to be a close one. Again, I don't think the scenarios is going to be as massive in this one because they've both got tanky units. It's not like they've both got lots of random chaff flying around. I mean, actually, Tank's got three easy to kill units there. That's three easy points that Ed could pick up. So Tanker does need to kill some of Ed's bigger stuff just to bring the scenario back.
But I mean, what's Ed going to get him with? He's going to have to go into combat, isn't he? Oh, well, I suppose he's got...
No, Div Magic. He just zaps the Flayers and the Warhounds. Well, the Warhounds are going to just... Well, I know this is Tanker Dice, isn't it? So the Warhounds will pass every discipline test. But
I mean, he has to go into the Wretched Ones eventually with something. And I think that's the biggest issue.
Clawed Fiends aren't bad. Plus one to hit, plus one to wound. Titting on twos, I think. Wounding on threes.
I mean, it's gonna, divination he's gonna get missiles back. Help.
Going to get absolutely battered back. But the Scourge could go in. Just merrily wade his way through him. I don't know what Tank has got to deal with the Scourge, apart from obviously the obvious stuff that Ed just won't put him into. I'm going to go with... I'm going to say Tanker to win, but I think it'd be another 12-8. There you go.
Yeah, then that puts me in the perfect position because, of course, I have to back Ed as part of Team Skulton. So I do think that it's a tough matchup, but I believe that this is one that Ed has thought about a lot. And you can see that in his list with the fact that he has divination instead of witchcraft, for example, on the courts. And as you say, the Scourge is there's no killer character or something in Tanka's list that can kind of fight the Scourge. It's gonna have to grind it out somehow. I think as you say that having that extra shooting magic is gonna let him like stand off a little bit longer to perhaps pull out the bad rolls from the Wretched Ones where they get into a weird position or something like that. But yeah, I think also it's gonna be dice swings in the end.
Yeah, it's a tank game. There's gonna be dice involved. There'll be something so outrageous.
Also gonna say small win, like 12 or something like that.
I mean, Paul, you mentioned there's, you know, the issue of Tanker getting the Scourge. I mean, short of the Warriors, the big block of Warriors, I mean, it's going to be a hard character to kill, isn't it? There's no...
Yeah, the Scourge is going to potentially dominate because I don't know quite what Tanker's got to deal with it. But if Tanker could keep it in position, which he has a chance to do with most of those units, he should be okay to countercharge it. And that's when you kill the Scourge. So I don't know. It's going to be a difficult one. I'm not going to say it's going to be big one way or the other. I'll be surprised if it is. One of them must have either had really janky dice or be really unlucky to go down hard. It's going to be a very difficult battle. And they're both exceptional players. So, again, hard one to call. But I think just based on previous performance and Warriors generally do well against Demons from experience. I think that's going to give Tanker the advantage and his dice. Ed, use Tanker's dice. See if it makes a difference. That's the other thing I'd say. But okay, moving on. We're making good time here. It's pretty good. Josh with his Sylvan Elf filth against Kieran with even more Vermin Swarm filth. me first. Vermin Swarm win the entire event. There you go. Job done. Kieran's going to win this massively. Kieran, if you don't win... you've done something majorly wrong here, mate. I don't think this is any reflection on Josh's Sylvan Elf list. This is just an example of a horrific matchup. Now, it might be that my inexperience and inability to be a decent player is coming through here, but I look at Kieran's list and I just cannot see how does Josh win this? I don't know. Nine wild huntsmen charge into something. Get stuck and then just get annihilated. I don't know. I just don't see how Josh wins this. He's got a cosmology master, so he's got the at least he's got the unity to try and rid some of the big units. But I can't get my head around the fact that where's that ridiculous list? Where's it gone? Right, let me read this. 46 Black Fur veterans are cheaper than 25 Myrmidons. I don't understand that. Explain. are cheaper than five, five Eidolons. Explain. I don't get how the vermin are so cheap. So cheap. He's got three Duskblade assassins and deep fire throwers everywhere and just horrificness everywhere. I hate Vermin Swarm, but they're going to win massive, and that's why I hate them. Big win to Kieran. If it's not 20-0, he's done something majorly wrong.
Yeah, I also play Vermin Swarm, so you know, you can check that on your list, Paul. I play Dwarves and Vermin Swarm.
Yeah, you play Dwarves? Boo!
So, yeah, I mean, Kira's list is just, it's horrendous. And I mean, of course, he's probably the best Vermin Swarm player in the world, I would guess. Probably there's some Polish guy who would disagree with me, but I mean, I, you know, it's perfect. Like, the list is really, really good, especially with the two prefects with their extra deep fire throwers that stick in a unit in the second rank. And then you have like another area that Josh just can't teleport into with the Blade Dancers. So Josh's list is really cool. I think I agree, but it's just not the list for this kind of matchup. In my experience, I think you want to shoot Vermin Swarm. You can't go with an idea of like, I'm going to put my toughness 3 stuff really close in one turn, and then you're going to eat 5 flamethrowers or 6 flamethrowers, I think. No, 5 flamethrowers in this
it's
list.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he only needs the 3 in the in one unit, doesn't he? We're talking about this earlier. If you had 4, you'd end up losing hits because everybody in the unit would have taken one by that point.
Yeah, the only reason you only have 3 in the unit is because you can only take 3 units of experimental weapon teams, and the 6 rotaries and the 4 canister launchers are just better. So then he got around this by taking 2 characters with flamethrowers instead. I mean, it's a fantastic list, and I mean, I agree. If he doesn't win the event, I think he's either really unlucky or has made some pretty big mistakes, because right now the game is really looking up for Vermin Swarm. So I'm just gonna say, big win. Maybe Josh can try to like just conserve points and deny him some points rather than losing big. I think that's the question. Does he want to push and risk getting 20'd, or just try to stay back and lose as small as possible, but still big to Karen?
So I've got a question for you, because I've used Vermin Swarm for, you know, a game or whatever, but. So in terms of those weapons teams, is Kieran going to be able to bring them forwards without them being shot out?
So because he has the prefect with, he actually doesn't have the item for extra range on the prefect, so he can't actually increase the range. That's true.
Is a case of trying to get the unit stuck on one of yours and then machine gunning it when they're fighting.
Yeah, exactly. Or essentially zoning, saying that like, okay, well, I'm going to put these here kind of safe. But then if you decide to push me, then I'll be able to move 8 and shoot 18. So it's still pretty decent range, I would say. Because the fact that there's 2 flamethrowers in the big unit, and the big unit can push and shoot 2 flamethrowers at something.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go with Josh because... We can't all vote for one person. The one thing I do wonder is whether it's going to end up as a standoff in Josh's favour, because Kieran won't be able to bring the weapons teams forwards enough to expose them. And so Josh gets to ping away. Now, you're probably going to list all the reasons that's wrong.
Yeah. Everything just stands behind the big block. So big blocks just push forwards with the flamethrowers in. The Silver Elms into the back corner and then just engage every... He doesn't really need the weapons teams first off. He just advances across the table.
Yeah, I do think he could kind of keep them behind. It's going to be difficult to not have the
Josh
the
will easily shoot off 2 units of 50 Legionnaires and 47 Black Furnace, all possibly hidden behind a line. Thin line of slaves at the front taking shots.
Yeah, that's the unit of 30 slaves is so good. Saying all this, I did in my last tournament I played. I played my a dwarf gun line against a Vermisworm list. I shot off like 250 rats in the game. He had like 3 moles left at the end. But Josh does not have that much shooting in his list.
No.
So and Josh, that's why it's going to be so interesting to see how Josh wins.
Josh for the win. Well, well played. Listen, mate, Josh, you have my full support. I hope you spank him. With respect, Kieran, you're a lovely bloke, but you play a horrible army, so you've got what's coming to you.
In other news, though, straight after the Masters, I'm going to start printing up my new Vermin Swarm army.
That's our secret
that's a
project.
A lot of painting for you there.
I thought it could be a group project. The group don't know yet.
Yes, the group want to share in the filth, though. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. But okay, let's rapidly move on. We've only got two left to go. We've got Dan and his Sylvan Elves versus Hugh and his Demon Legion.
Hugh's not got Demon Legions, has he?
He's not. You're right. He's playing Saurian Ancients. I made an assumption. Yeah. Bad me. Yeah, Dan with his Sylvan Elves versus Hugh and his Saurian Ancients.
So Dan, that's the list with the 3 shapeshifters, I believe, and the 2 tree fathers. Yes. He's fighting against 2 Taurosaurs and 2 Tego veterans on Raptors.
Yeah.
And I have to say that for me here, I haven't actually placed the new Saurian Ancient bookend yet. So I'm a little bit unsure of like what it actually will be able to do in comparison. But I can imagine also that the shapeshifters will be difficult to use now because like almost every unit that you has stomps in some way. And in my experience, that really hurts the shapeshifters because, I mean, they're small and they're great maneuverable, but you don't want to go in against stuff that auto hits you with decent strength. So I'm not entirely sure on this one, but I think I will say you.
Yeah, I mean, I've looked at Hugh's list and understand nothing about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think, you know, maybe Dan will be in Danny will be in a similar position, really. But then, Wild Huntsman, you know. I mean, again, Sylvan's with Tree Father and Wild Huntsman. But, yeah, I just look at Hugh's list and think, what does it all do?
The confusion factor.
Has Hugh got any magic in his list?
Yeah, it's all in his units. He's got
Yeah, that's right. You can take, yeah.
Which is a fantastic way around to do it. He's got no frog, but he's got enough magic there. The problem is I don't know what magic they've got without looking at the book. And I've made the faux pas of not bothering to look at the book because it's Saurian Ancients and I've not learnt it yet because it's still in its...
I'm gonna have a wild guess and imagine that it's mostly buff spells, at least from the core stuff. I seem to remember, but I'm really unsure as well what spells he gets from that.
So what were we thinking, Tony? Who's winning?
Well, again, if Danny, you know, could had enough shooting, there's the question that actually can Hugh get across the table at him and, you know, get into him, but. Yeah, Danny hasn't really got any shooting.
He's got a little bit, but it's not like a traditional Sylvan Elf that goes pew pew pew. It's just got a bit of pew.
Yeah, a couple of units. Just 2 big units of Dryads, 2 units of Wild Huntsmen, 2 Tree Fathers.
Yeah, none of those have got Arch. And none of his characters have got range. Oh no, he's got a Silver Longbow with a Watcher's Woe. Don't know what that is. That must be one of the new bows.
Yeah, no idea also.
Wizard of Death with Cosmo. That's his only magic as well. That's the thing. Danny's not running much magic at all.
Mm. I mean, again, it's just whether those Skink Warrior units, you know, 21 Skinks and 3 Gaimans, had a, you know, like a Wild Huntsman on the charge. That sounds like quite a big unit you've got to work through.
Yeah.
So you're going to be getting hit by Gaiman back, which isn't ideal. I'll go with Hugh on the basis that I don't understand anything about that list, and maybe Danny will be in a similar position. I hope I don't get Hugh's army in game 4. I can't imagine he'll be doing that badly. You just imagine me sat there with the book.
What does it all do? But you see, I think it's going to be quite an interesting game. I think My issue is I don't know really what the Saurian Ancients do, and I've got an idea of what Dan Isnes does. I mean, he's got a few extra magic items. He's got lightning van braces in there. He's got the rod of battle, so he does have any magic things. And I think he's got the range to zone Hugh better because he's got the longer charges. And if those Wild Huntsmen charge most of Hugh's stuff, they just go straight through. I think the only units that stand up are the Skink Warriors with the three Caiman in there. I think the three Caiman Elders were great weapons. He just blows straight through those. So Hugh's going to have to be very careful where he positions them. Even a Taurus, or I think the Wild Huntsmen just go straight through that, don't they? And the Taurosaur doesn't charge anywhere near as far as a Wild Huntsman. So I actually think Danny's got the list to beat Hugh. I think the issue will be, does Danny know the Saurian Ancient book? And I don't know the answer to that. Also, Danny has literally won one event and that's it. He's won the Scottish Championships. I don't know really how he is as a player. So unlike everybody else who's kind of played four tournaments and they're in there through combined tournament scores, he's had one very good tournament and he's here. So I don't know what that means with regards to him as a player, but he's obviously won a big event and therefore he's in the Masters, which is fair enough. And he played Sylvan Elves. So I'm actually going to back Danny. One, to be cool. Different. And also,
I mean, maybe he's the dark horse, you know?
Yeah, I think he has the tools. I don't know enough about that Saurian Ancients list to know, and I know Hugh's a very good player. So I'm only saying this because you've both backed Hugh. But I also think, legitimately, I think Danny has a chance to win that one. Again, because of the scenario. But we'll see. I'll probably be terribly wrong. But let's move on to the final matchup here. We've got Jake with his ID versus Artem with his Sylvan Elves.
I'm starting this discuss. One. So. Okay, so I mean, you've got Jake with his Infernal Dwarves, haven't you, with giants, slingshots, loads of slaves, loads of vassal levies. It's the thing with, I always struggle with ID because everything's quite expensive. So do you actually get enough of the good units to, I always think they're one unit short. You know, one more unit, a Citadel Guard or something. I think that's the knack with them. They are an elite army, and I just don't understand them. Obviously, Jake's very experienced, and he's been to absolutely loads of Masters. Is this Artem's first?
Don't know. I know he's a reasonable player. He's always been up
there. Oh, yeah, he's tabled me.
Yeah, he's up. He's been up there, so he knows what he's doing.
Teleport shenanigans. Didn't see that coming. I was so...
Yeah, it's really horrendous.
Yeah. It was only funny because I think I moaned to Tom about it. And then about 2 months later, I think Tom had exactly the same thing happen to me. He ran over to tell me. There was this teleport. I know exactly what he did. Anyway. So Jake's, you know, solid and steady with those Infernal Dwarfs. But Artem's very good. And again, I think Sylvan Elves are in a good place at the moment. So I think I'm going to go with... Oh, it's a difficult one. But Artem's got a dragon.
That's what I saw. I like the dragon.
Yeah. But Jake's got... Does Jake have anything big and flying? I'm going back to the rule of call, you understand.
Oh, and
he has like medium... He has a medium flying. It's like a small ball.
Yeah.
So it's not a big one.
I mean, it's probably better in truth, but I'll still go with the dragon. So I'm going to go with Artem for a win.
Oh, me next. Okay. I think it's going to be close regardless. I don't think it's going to be a big win for either of them. Jay's got Pyromancy, which helps in this matchup. Depends what spells he goes for. I'm assuming he's planning to go blasty, but he could obviously go for the -1 to wound me spell, which on Infernal Dwarves is also quite strong. He's also got quite a few bow shards. He's got quite a bit of range, actually. He's got Infernal Artillery with Rocket Battery. I think that can keep the dragon in check, potentially, if it hits. Jake's got answers. But then I look at Artem's list, and so does he. They both know what they're doing. Artem's list is a bit squidgier. That's the thing. Like if the Infernal Dwarfs can stick, I say squidgy. I'm looking at five Thicket Beasts. They ain't squidgy. I don't know what I'm talking about. So last game, you're going for Artem to win. I'll go for Wizard Adept Cosmo. What's that going to do? Wizard Master Druidism. No, I think Jake's got it purely because of Pyro and Range. I think he can pick some stuff off, play the long game. Play the range game, sorry. Yes, Artem's got some punches. I think there's going to be casualties on both sides. I don't think it's going to be one walking over the other. I think it's going to be messy, but I think Jake will come out the other side.
Yeah, so how I looked at this is that Jake has the Infernal Artillery Rocket Battery as well as the Engineer Prophet, which means that he has this like extremely accurate, very reliable, long-range like dragon killer artillery piece, which makes it kind of difficult for Artem to play because he has to make a choice of is he going to hide or is he just going to run at it? And then if you look at it, when I look at the rest of his list, it's like he has the big unit of Kestrels, but the rest of it is actually not like it's not crazy fast for a Sylvan Lister. I mean, of course, it's still faster than most other lists in the game. But it's still like it's not like free shapeshifters. It's not double wild huntsmen or, you know, anything like this. It's no teleporting. So I think that Jake has the like if they decide to do it standoffish, then I think Jake has like a very clear, advantage because he has a better, much better and more reliable range game. And then if he runs at it, it's like, I don't think it's fast enough for me. Like the dragon is kind of a bit vulnerable compared to if you were playing like, I don't know, a smaller type of character, like some kind of eagle character that can hide more easily or if your character is on a stag or something like this. So I think Jake will take this as well. I think he has all the tools, and also he will be prepping like mad for the first game, right? So I'm sure he'll have a good plan.
That's what. Right then, so I suppose that's all eight games. That's them summarized. Now this does come with a caveat of we're recording this just as the matchups have been put out, and as we said right at the beginning, there was a caveat of we did think that it was going to be seeded. So I doubt they're going to redraw. But if they do, well, everything we've just said is completely pointless. Yeah. So we'll see. But I think on that basis, and from that basis alone, who do we think's going to win overall? Who do we think's really got it in them to take this out? Start with the guest first, Casimir. Put you on the spot. What do you reckon?
Yeah, sure. Well, I feel like for me this is easy. I'm gonna say Kieran. Like
I typed it before you said it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not only because I think they're quite overpowered. I mean, it's also because I'm a Vermispawn player as well. And it's just like, when you play with them now, it's every game you go into, you go like, what are they going to do? You know, like I have lost a game with the new version, but it's like, the list tried to save me at every point in the game. You know, like I was making super silly mistakes and I almost still won anyway. So it's, I feel like he has all the cards going for him, and he's a spectacular player as well. So I think it's only if do they have penalties for overtime on this event?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think they're going to have to play to time, especially on Sunday, because I want to get home before midnight. It's miles away. So
exactly. That might be the only downfall for Kieran, but I think it will go well for him.
I'm going to be boring as well and say, Kieran, just looking at everybody else's list at the event, I don't see a list here that can go toe-to-toe. I think if you had something like, I know I've been playing Vampire Counts recently, and I quite like the Vermin matchup because it's grindy and VCD grinding very well.
You break the Steadfast. That was what I played against Kev, for example, with the big unit of Avowed Armsmen. And suddenly I got in a combat, which before I was like, oh, this will be no problem. And then I got scared because I started counting his ranks. And I'm like, wait a second. If he kills like one rat too many, I'm not Steadfast and I lose the game. Uh-oh.
Yeah, this is the thing. But even then, VC list against this particular list, I wouldn't like my chances against it. It's just got so much stuff. And it's all damage output. This is the thing. It's not just, It can take a punch and then thump you back so solidly, you just don't recover from it. And even when you can get your dudes back up, you're getting rinsed by deep fire throwers, and then you're in combat and these ignifiers are coming in and just really... I think this list should be illegal. I think he's playing with an extra... I think he's easily got a 500-point advantage on everyone else.
I mean, I think it's pretty for sure that they're going to be nerfing some aspects of this come end of February or whenever they do the finalization of the updates.
Yeah, I think it's one thing being cheap. It's another thing being cheap and actually being decent. I think the problem is the rats are so fast as well. Like those Vermin Legionaries with spears, there's 53 of them. They're better than goblins or something like that. They're not just easy to get through. And you kill two of them for every one combat res point. It's not like you kill a little Skaven dude and they're taking loads of break tests.
Yeah, you have to think of them as elite fighting units. They're just very large compared to what we usually think of elite units.
I think the one list that has a punch that could potentially threaten any of those units is Tanker. And even Tanker himself has said he hates that Vermin Swarm list. And I don't think he would do any good against it. So, Kieran, mate, you're going to come over here, swan over after winning the ETC, and I think you're taking the Masters with you with that stinky Vermin Swarm list.
Well, I think you've both overlooked one major factor, which is with everybody expecting him to win, something will go wrong.
Yeah, pressure.
Yeah.
You know, there's no bigger curse than everybody else's expectation.
Curse him.
So I'm going to go with Tanker because he's got 400 points. You know, he's had a pretty flawless year. And it is, you know, an aggressive list. And you don't know. I mean, he might end up playing Vermin Swarm game 4 and get to switch over and use it.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's more of the move. Who
but
gets
then,
to play
picking up the Vermin? Well, yeah, but if you don't know it, you know, you'll just be sat there trying to work out the overlapping rules of what exactly an Eagle Standard does.
Yeah, I mean, saying that, like, after having to learn the new book by playing it, I mean, I can freely admit that my first, like, 10, 15 games when they released the new Vermin Swarm, I did so badly. I won, like, one game just because, like, the way you have to place units is so different when they're so large. You have to all the space to be sure that you can wheel, and you end up in all these situations where you think, like, oh, I have this game in the bag. But then suddenly you're like, oh, my unit can't charge because I put my weapon team next to it, and now I can't wheel to make contact or whatever it is. So it is not, per se, like, easy to just pick up, but once you know what you're doing, it's very good.
So, but I'm gonna stick with Tanker.
Right then. So we got the winners. What about coolest list? Who do you think's bought the list that is like, wow, I'd like to play with that one, or good for them? I think that'd be an interesting one.
Well, I think we've covered filthiest list, haven't we?
Definitely. Exactly. I think filthiest list is already covered.
Yeah, well, for me, I think the one I'd like to play with is definitely Luke's list. I think this is a fantastic UD list, and UDs are perhaps not doing that well in the meta in general right now, at least not here in Central Europe. But I mean, this list is really good, and I think it brings the best the book has to offer.
Yeah, fair enough. I think Luke is also playing with an army that he really likes. That's the thing. Ooh, right, so... given the fact we're going with coolest list, I think kudos to Tom Parker. I think shout out, Tom, mate. The fact you love dragons and you've taken three dragons to a you've taken three dragons to a Masters, over potentially taking Kingdom of Rectane, which would have been boring, Warriors and VC. Yeah, I think kudos, mate. You've taken a list which I know you're going to enjoy playing with.
I really thought he was going to take Warriors.
Yeah, especially with the Chosen changes and things like that. I thought that plays right. But then this plays right up his street. The fact you've got that Initiate of the Fiery Heart unit entry. That's a brilliant addition to the book. I really hope they don't take that away. I really hope they keep it in there. But they might have to do something about a flying circus like this. We'll see.
Yeah, I think you'll see it get a lot more expensive probably. And maybe they'll mess around with the points, like, you know, how many flying points you can have or something like this.
Yeah, that might be it. They might just cap how many dragons you can have or whatever. I mean, Tom's had to make some serious sacrifices to get it in. I mean, his magic is pretty... Well, no, he's got the initiates. So he's got three adepts, which actually I think is really quite strong. But Yeah, anyway, Tom gets Roller Call for me. What about you, Tony?
I think I've got to go with either Rory or Wes with their, you know, flying Equitin Lord or Paladin. I think I'm going to go with Wes because it is no shooting, all aggro. So he's going for the wins. So for Roller Call, I'll go for that.
Fair enough, mate. Fair enough.
Well, look, at this point, I suppose we have to obviously point out that we will be reviewing how we did after the event to see who got the most correct, and obviously whoever gets the most wrong will end up having to reach in their pocket at the next tournament we're at and buy a round for the three of us. So yes, I'll just admit it's me straight away.
I think there's some interesting choices there. It's always the same way with Masters, isn't it? That first round always goes a little bit wonky. It's very rare that you'd get all eight games in the bag. But Casimir, definitely. Mate, great to catch up with you, mate. Thanks for coming onto the show as well. And I appreciate you're an hour ahead of us as well. So this is getting a bit late for you.
Yeah, straight to bed after this one.
No, thanks, Casimir. And fun. We'll follow up after the event. So see everybody soon. It's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And bye from me as well. Yes. Okay. Let's see here. So how many nine pagers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Oh, interesting. I like this one on topic.
Yeah. Well, we've created a committee and two advisory boards, and they have executive decision-making power on how to design a new light fixture.
And somehow Matt will wedge in a conversation about a horse as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's getting a lot of horse stick at the moment, as well. I'll have to apologise to him at the weekend. Oh, very good, Kazria. I mean, obviously you'll be thrown off the forum for that. But
yeah, no problem. I've been there's been some personalities that have been really rubbing me the wrong way. So I've been like holding back for not getting the frass kind of ban, but we'll see.